Empty Atlas frontman Micah Smith has come to the Antidote for a chat. It's good to have you here, Micah.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to disappoint you. I missed your set, and I'm an evil person.
Not an evil person. You are a person who is busy. That is the reality of festivals. It's like there's too much good music all at the same time. You can't do it all.
I've told people, you got to be cloned. You have to have at least three of you to be able to do all that you want to do.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If you look at like the end of the day especially, it's just literally like, okay, all of these bands are bands I want to see, and I'll have to choose. It's just Sophie's Choice over and over again on bands all day long. It's pretty tough.
Now, I have to explain something to the regular listeners of this show. No, this isn't the Micah Smith of the August Guns, nor Empty Smith. This is the other Micah Smith.
Yeah, we're located in different places. That's the only difference. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi. And then the other Micah Smith, we're actually in like a Facebook group of all these bands that are like Christians that play alternative music. We're in this random Facebook chat thing that's been going for years. And he's in there. And when he got added, I was like, this is about to be really confusing for everyone.
So we've got that all cleared up. Now, let's hear about Empty Atlas. How did it begin?
Oh, yeah. So at the start, I was doing a solo act under a different name, but it was same kind of music, really. And actually, you can hear some of those songs still. We put them together in a album called Anniversary that still some of those earliest songs I did before the band really started getting together. But as I started working on it, it started leaning more and more alternative and getting a little bit heavier. Not that it's the heaviest music, of course, but so I was like, okay, this is not just me anymore. I gotta put something together. Played with actually, most of those members are now in the band before there was Rosalind. Weirdly, they're in a much heavier band than we ever were. But we played together for a really long time. But eventually, it just became where I was kind of wanting to take the music in a different direction. Then they helped me finish our first record, Hestia, that we put out in 2016, at the end of 2016. And then actually, randomly, all the other members that have now been in the band ever since then, we just sort of randomly connected. We played with Bobby that plays drums for us, Robert Curry Hansford. We played with his previous band that was breaking up. That was our show right before our album release show. So we met at that show only like maybe 3 weeks or something. And then he joined the band right after that. Brennan Michael White, our guitarist, he was a friend of mine for forever. He was at the album release show and goes, I don't know if you'd ever need another guitarist, but you know, I'm here. And I was like, he doesn't even know I'm about to need a guitarist and I don't have another guitarist. So he joined, and then our bass player Alex Ingram has been playing with me. Like, we played in kind of the earliest iterations of the band when first started trying to make it not just a solo thing. Mm-hmm. So we've been friends and playing music together for like, I don't know, 12 years, something like that. And so he joined the band full time after that too. And he just moved back from Nashville at that point. So it was really wild. And I wasn't even really planning on it becoming what it was. I was thinking, oh, I'll just do like have random members, you know, play here and there, but it ended up being the perfect fit, and we've been playing together ever since.
You are giving me all the facts, because you said Hestia was the first, but you actually had one called Anniversary.
Yeah.
10 years ago. Ten.
Yeah, I know.
You're old. I'm sorry.
I know. You're totally right. That's like, it's really weird, because I always think of the band starting in 2014, because that's when, like, the first things I put out as Empty Atlas, but it was like, mm-hmm. It kind of wasn't earlier version in like, yeah, 2012, 2013. So like 2014 even is like, technically it's even older than that. Like I was a freshman in college when I first started playing. Mm-hmm. Some of the songs that, you know, I still play became Empty Atlas songs later, you know? And, so it's been a long time. It's wild.
How much has changed since then over the past decade?
I think I'm a better songwriter. I hope I am. I would say the biggest difference, personally, is that when it was just me, it felt like just me. And I was trying to basically direct all what every instrument was going to do. And ever since the current lineup and, you know, official lineup of the band has been together since end of 2016, beginning of 2017, like, it's been a band. Everybody writes their own parts. Brennan will come with guitar ideas. Barbie will come with drum ideas. And we'll build the songs from there. Versus the early days where it was like me and an acoustic and trying not to play it like an acoustic. So it's been much more of like a full band approach to it all, because I don't like it just being me solo. I played this just solo for audio feed, but I'm like, that's not Empty Atlas. I still love playing even when the guys can't, but you know, I'd rather play with them at any day.
It's always tough to keep a band lineup together.
Yeah.
You've had struggles that way?
Oh, absolutely. So the thing that's been really tough for us is the last year, Brennan, our guitarist, moved to Nashville. It's been a really good fit for him, but it does mean, you know, we're 6 hours apart from each other. Mm-hmm. So he'll have to travel and we record together. And still, he's, you know, he's every song we've put out since he moved, and we've recorded 3 new songs already. He's come down and recorded with us still. So we're still tight. And I mean, we talk to each other all the time, but it's definitely a weird feeling being split up. So that's been hard. That's been kind of the biggest challenge of being a full band. And then times like this where I'm like, I wanted to bring everyone up for the festival, but I hate that money is ever a thing, but it's, you know, I'm not getting paid to play this festival. I had to just bite the bullet and go, I want to go play, so I'm going to figure it out. But I couldn't make the guys take off from work and other paying gigs to make this drive up with me, because I don't want to be selfish. Like, they're my friends. I don't want to make the band a challenge to be in, you know? So it's definitely hard to be a full band in 2024 when there's so much in the world. And yeah, we are older. Like, we're not, I mean, I don't mind saying, like, I'm 33 and I'll be 30. Yeah. I had to think about it. I don't ever say it. So it's a weird feeling to be in your 30s and be like, well, they've got families and stuff. And anytime that we're doing any tours, you know, it is a challenge to be away from family, but we all do it 'cause we love it. Alex is the one who gave me kind of 3 tenets of anytime we accept shows is it a great time with your friends? Is it great money? Or is it something that's going to push the band further? If it's 2 of the 3, then you're solid and you should do it. And if it's, you know, 1 of the 3 and you can live without the other 2, then you should do it.
How many points does AudioFeed get?
100 points.
I'd like to get into the Empty Atlas 2020 full-length Kairos. That album was described as the other side of the coin from the band's previous full-length album, Hestia.
Yeah.
How so?
So Hestia, short version, is kind of wrote this album about, like, my wife and I had just gotten married a little bit before that when I started writing it. And I was sort of exploring this idea of going, well, I know I want to pursue music still, but I also have this new life I'm starting, and what's that about to look like? And in the middle of that, I had some friends that are dealing with their, like, own visions of what home is like and trying to settle down and go, no, if I settle down, that's failing somehow. And so it was me kind of like elaborating on, like, well, here's how I feel about it and how do other people take that term. Meanwhile, right after we put that out, like, I kind of started writing Kairos pretty quickly after we started touring Hestia. And Kairos was me going, okay, well, I did decide that, but now I have this even more ambition of, like, what I want the band to be. So it was sort of me going, well, what would my life have been like? Because everybody feels that way. At some point you start questioning of, like, did I make, you know, not that I made the wrong choice of getting married. I love my wife. My wife's the coolest. She is here. Just that idea of going, like, well, what would my life have been like if I would have chosen this other thing? And if I would have put pursuit above every other thing, right? So you got that idea of, like, settling down versus constant pursuit, and the fact of, like, joy is somewhere in the middle of that in either situation, right? You have to be able to find joy for yourself in no matter what situation. You got to be able to listen to what actually matters the most and sometimes tell your, you know, what your heart thinks is the right thing to shut up and actually listen to other people who want to speak wisdom into your life. So that's what those albums are really kind of me doing for myself and trying to speak for some of the situations I was seeing around me with different friends who were kind of going through the same stuff.
It's the flow of life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're totally right. That's to me what those were. I haven't really named those, but you can even see there's a cohesiveness between the album covers. And it's these 2 minor gods from Greek mythology. One being Hestia, who is the goddess of the hearth and home. If you were missing something in your life, in your home life, you were like, oh, I need her. She's going to fix it. And Kairos was god of opportunity, where you're like, literally the myth is he would run by you and he had this long flowing golden hair. And if you could grab it, you basically literally could grab opportunity as it ran by you. So they had this, like, literal version of what opportunity was and this literal version of what home life was supposed to be. And so that was, like, I don't know. It was me pulling in some of my nerd stuff of what I love, but like, I don't know, that hit exactly what I was feeling at the time. And I don't know, still deal with personally.
What we've been talking about really comes up on the first song from the album, and it is a heavy topic. the song Maximal ends with, I'm already past 25. Some of my best years are behind me. I could use a better hand to break me down, redefine me. I want answers to my legacy. But the greatest minds in artistry, their speeches just don't speak to me, because all of them are dead already. What brought that out? Man, you are such a downer.
Oh, sorry. No, you can find a lot of that in our music. It's fun to listen to, I hope, but also I can't help but write about what I'm dealing with. And that was me sort of writing Maximal from this perspective of, and you can see it in the album, you've got Maximal is the start and Minimal at the end. And Minimal is me sort of going, okay, well, if you do choose this, if you put everything else behind you and all you do is live for pursuit, then you're never going to really be able to find it. And there's even a line in Maximal that really ties directly into that, which is, I never set the goal, so it's always out of reach. To me, it's how many people do you know that it seems like they're always working towards something and never getting to feel any joy from what they're working towards. So to me, like, the band is the opposite of that. The band is me going, like, whatever form this can take, however I can make music going forward, I want to feel joy. I want to be able to enjoy what I'm doing and also create, I hope, art that people can connect with. So, yeah, it doesn't have to look like, you know, the greatest artists that have ever lived. It doesn't have to look the same way as them.
I do get that, because Maximal and Minimal are the bookends for the album. You know, that's obvious just with the name. Especially when they're saying, there's no window with a view overlooking what you knew. You would not work for it, so it will not work for you.
Yeah, I mean, I almost didn't put Minimal on the album, but it just, when I named it, I was like, well, I can't not at this point. But, like, it was one of those where I was like, is this a downer to leave it on? But everybody's met that person that that eventually they think they'll be able to settle down and do something else. But they're like, in the meantime, you know, this is what it has to look like for me, is to live my life in this constant state of, I don't know, attacking everything in front of me. And, you know, at some point I'll get to enjoy my life, but now is not the time for that. It's constant work. So to me, Minimal was like the opposite side of the person from Maximal, right? Is mm-hmm. this character I was kind of playing in Maximal. Minimal is me going, okay, well, you did that. It's too late now. I know that's heavy, but, like, I don't know.
Well, you have to tell us, what are you really striving for on a personal level? Which one do you want to be?
I mean, I think the answer is in between, right? I want to create art I'm proud of, and I want Empty Atlas to be a band that people care about the music and want to listen to it and pay closer attention to what the lyrics are and things like that. Like, I want people to enjoy it on that level, but I also realize I'm up against the entire world of entertainment and actual important life things that you have to really pay attention to. So I'm like, I kind of realized maybe after Hestia, to be honest, like, I have to be okay with however people enjoy the music. And even if it's you heard it one time and never listened again, but you enjoyed it that one time you listened to it, I'm cool with that.
You dig into some interesting topics. I mean, in a literal sense, because quite a few authors have used the place name Carcosa.
Yeah.
This might be the first time it's ever shown up as a song title. So why did you create a song around that?
Yeah. So short version, there's this epic poem that is about this author looking back, you know, the character in the poem, looking back on this city that's been destroyed, that was once this great, you know, place of commerce and considered the greatest city around. And then, but they're looking at it in past tense. It's already been destroyed. It's partially in the ocean and gone. Carcosa to me is that feeling of like, if you put all of your life into this idea of pursuit and your goals are the only thing that matters, then when it falls, right, then all you have to do is look back on the destruction. And that's like Carcosa's to me, like, you know, it's a metaphorical song, but it's also, I hope, something that people can listen to and get, because it is sort of that idea of like, you know, the chorus is, it always comes down to this. It's that idea of like, if all you have is some big lofty city that you're trying to build and you can't, you know, it's the forest for the trees situation, right? Mm-hmm. Is then when it all burns down, then all you have is the ash. If that's all you care about is this ultimate goal, then there's nothing to hold you up when it falls.
I got to tell you, I think what makes Empty Atlas stand out over many bands is that your songs force the listener to really consider what's being said. You know, it makes you ponder. Mm. And one example is Valleys, when it says, at the end of every valley, there's a fell for you to climb. It doesn't ask all that much of you, just your peace of mind and time. And we could all stand more victories, but you can still be happy. Thing is, Christians aren't often taught that. Many people expect to almost be on the mountaintop, even though that's impossible.
You know, me and the guys are all people of faith and Christians, and the fact of the matter is, like, I feel like it's very clear in that song especially. I want to be clear about who we are in our music in every song. Mm-hmm. To me, Valleys is the most obvious of just, like, I don't know, it's speaking from a place of going, like, the Bible never promises perfect days. Like, the rain falls on the just and unjust. The reality of life is it's, like, it's going to change, and you're going to learn from the bad moments as much as the good moments, if not more from the bad moments, right? So to me, Valleys was sort of like a, I'll tell you short version, but there's a band I really love called Frightened Rabbit, and the lead singer is a band from Scotland, the lead singer, and so Valleys was actually, before he committed suicide, I was already writing that song kind of as a response to him. He is somebody who grew up in Catholic faith, and it really just ripped him up, and he had just really distant understanding of, like, who Jesus is, but not knowing Jesus. And sort of just viewing church as this thing that is, I don't know, authoritative and not any personal relationship or enjoyment. He couldn't see joy in it. So I'd already written the song. And then after he committed suicide, I really didn't even think I should put it on the album. And the guys actually talked me into it because it felt weird to write this song that I'd kind of meant as a response to him posthumously. It feels weird, but to me it's like, well, the reality is, it's like, it was never just for him, it was always for me. It's a reminder of, like, anytime I hit low points, it's like the low points are gonna come, it's holding on to the high points and also remembering there is a choice in joy and remembering the good things around you and celebrating that even in the moments where it's really hard to do that.
I have a whole shopping list of songs I gotta talk to you about. You seem to love disturbing songs.
Sorry.
Ouroboros is another of those, because it's so accurate. Now, when you get what you always wanted to, it starts to go wrong. Well, 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 enough alone isn't set in stone. You may learn what it was when it was already gone. Is that song coming from your own personal experience?
It is and it isn't. Like, it's definitely about people who have bad patterns, right? We have another song on the record called Codebreaker, I would say is kind of the opposite side of that, right? Where it is about people who fall into these patterns of self-destruction. And even when there's something good right in front of them, it's like, well, you have this natural tendency to, the desire for something else is stronger than your desire to actually be happy and to appreciate what you have. And so Ouroboros is kind of that, which, I mean, I think everybody goes through that. I don't feel like I'm a particularly self-destructive person, thankfully, but, like, everybody's got a little bit of that tendency in them to go, but what else am I missing by choosing something, you know, or just settling, quote unquote. So that's what Ouroboros is about. Thankfully, I feel like I'm on the healthy side of it. Not that it's not something I don't deal with to an extent, but I don't know. It's definitely about people I've known more than it is about me, thankfully.
I got to give you some more song lyrics that grabbed me. Mm-hmm. On Famous Friends, the verse says, "You stand there talking to your famous friends. I'll be imagining their plans get overturned. But it's not too late to leave this acting rich and talking cheap. We can just laugh and watch the mansions burn." That's disturbing, but it's also kind of intriguing at the same point.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, like, this is it's a fictionalized story, but it is about people that you grew up with, right? Mm-hmm. The idea of the narrative of it being, this is somebody watching a friend suddenly be very successful and basically stop being themselves. And this friend becomes sort of like a weird statue, but pointed to the door. It's that idea of going, like, being the other person in the room while you're watching somebody else you know sort of put on this other persona and go, like, what is happening? And so, yeah, that last line to me is, like, I know it's, like, heavy, but I also hope it's hopeful. It's somebody saying, like, there's a way to turn back from this and just put this weird, like, persona behind you and just be yourself with people. Like, not the literal, you know, burning of mansions that I'm like, I'm not a destructive person, but like, but it is to me, everybody's been in that situation where you're watching somebody else or maybe even yourself go like, oh, I don't like what you're becoming. And that's what that song is really about, is kind of looking back on the good moments and these like little things that sort of become these stories of your life with this other person and going like, okay, now you're putting these in perspective. Like the character is basically saying, I've become a background story for you and it feels wrong. Like there's no real friendship happening anymore. And I think everybody's been through, like, I'm hyperbolizing it, but you know, I think the reality of it is like everybody's watched those friends kind of try to fit into different groups and been like, whoa, I don't know what you're doing anymore. So that's what that song really is to me.
Thing is that now you are the famous friend. Because look at you. You've got your own band while the rest of your friends are at home binge watching Netflix.
You don't know my friends, man. They play in much bigger bands than me.
Kairos, I've been running from you, running for you, running towards you. Do Empty Atlas listeners actually understand what you're aiming for?
I don't know sometimes. I think being in a rock band, people don't expect much from lyrics sometimes. I don't know that that's fair to the rock bands. I don't mean that they don't have really good content. But to me, like, I am somebody, like, I want to give people something. If you do come back to this and invest time listening to it in a deeper level, I want to give somebody something to listen to and to hear and to like, latch on to. And that song, yeah, like, in minimal me saying that, like, it is sort of that idea of, like, opportunity is something you run towards and work for, and the idea of it being, you know, it's not always going to work out for you, but that doesn't mean it's not worth the pursuit. It's just knowing why you're pursuing it and why it matters. That's what me and like the guys in the band have really had to kind of discover for ourselves, because like I don't think we're ever going to be famous. I just don't see it for ourselves. But to me, I'm like, was that ever the point? No, I want people to hear our music. That's what I want.
Does this mean you're not going to get your gold star put on the city street in Tupelo?
I don't think they have those yet, but if they ever do, I can ask them if they're willing to put us on there. Maybe like a back alley or something. They'll just have us.
Just get a can of gold spray paint. Do your own.
That's true. They won't know. If I hide it well enough, they won't find it. We could just put it in there for years.
I know. I do admit that I'm asking too many questions, but I got a final one. Last year's single, Belong. It's sad and hopeful at the same time. Time's not promised. We'll take what we get, and we choose to give back light while there is light still left to give.
Yeah. My wife always says, do you write the saddest songs that sound so happy? And I don't know. But to me, like, everything we write, like, I hope is hopeful. You know, no, that sounds redundant.
No, I think she's absolutely right when she says that. That is how the songs come across.
Yeah, but like, isn't that what life is? It's like, you know, it's knowing, you know, where to look for hope. And honestly, that's what we're doing with all that. And yeah, Belong to Me is like, it's a song about loss, but it's also a song about using loss as a reminder for recognizing the people in your life that you should care about and care for and be there for in those moments that are hard. Even when you personally feel like you're going through a loss, it's like, man, but what if somebody needs you in that moment? Like, it's hard to do, which is like the reality of that song, but it's also so important. It's why we're here.
I was reading the bio for Empty Atlas, and I love how it begins with this line. How have I not heard this band before now? And I admitted to you that's my story too with your band. So it sounds like you might be drawing in listeners one at a time. Are you okay with it taking time to build a fan base?
I think that's going to be what we always are. Like, we've had a few songs do really well. Our song Matador kind of hit the algorithm just right on Spotify and stuff, and more people heard that one. But the reality is, like, I think we're going to be a band that connects with a few people, but hopefully at a level that is deeper. And will mean something. Like, there's a song called Amen on Hestia that was like a very personal song about my faith. I put it on there and I don't think I heard anybody mention it hardly for I don't know how many years, but I talked to somebody recently at a show and she was like, that's the song that, I don't want to make it sound like we're something special, but it does mean something to me that, like, God used that song in some way in this person's life. Mm-hmm. That's the part I care about, right? And this person said, like, that song really helped me reconnect with my faith mm-hmm. and kind of saved me in a moment that I was struggling. And I was like, that's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you write it and you have no idea who it's going to connect with or when it's going to connect with them. That's why you have to do the part for yourself and then also go, hey, you know what? Once it's out there, if God wants to use it in some way, if people want to connect with it in some way, like, that's what it's there for.
Honestly, this is it. Micah, thanks for coming for this talk with The Antidote and sharing about Empty Atlas. This has been great.
Thank you for having me. This has been awesome.